want you to turn just for a moment to two or three very short verses found in Nehemiah chapter 8. We'll be using a couple of other passages, but I'll turn to those when we're at that stage. It's Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9. Page 493. Let's hear God's word together. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites were instructing the people, said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people have been weeping as they listened to the words of the law." Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, in these moments we pray that your Holy Spirit will search our hearts, that Lord, as we are in your presence, that we will truly find there is fullness of joy. May this be a holy moment in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hand up if you know a miserable person. Put your hand up. Put them up high. See the ones that aren't putting their hand up? Will you talk to me afterwards? Give me their name. Put your hand up if you are that miserable person. Put your hand up if that other miserable person is in the room along with you. I don't think anybody will go through life without feeling a little bit miserable sometimes. I think it's part of our broken world that we tend to not only encounter misery, but our lives are overshadowed by it on occasions. It's just life. It's what happens. You know, I talk with people on occasions who blame God for the misery of this world. Well, even if God didn't exist, this world would probably still be a miserable place. The fact that God does or does not exist will not deliver you from misery in the sense of you're accusing God for the state of the world. You will encounter it. Jesus came to this earth and he encountered misery. The brokenness of this world. The fact that people either believed he was sent from God or not was entirely their perspective. But if they listened to what he would have said, if they had read the scriptures, then certainly they would have had an indication of where the true source of joy can actually be found, which is very distinct from happiness, which is circumstantial. In fact, if we are to find a true substance of joy or the true experience of joy, we must find it in redemption. That's its basis. If you don't believe in a God who is involved in redemptive history, then it's very difficult to find a true source of joy, because this joy is heading towards something. It's not just a present experience, it is an eternal experience. And I want you to think just briefly this morning with me, just for a few moments, on joy. If you flick over to Luke chapter 15. And I want you just to basically take the lost coin. Or in verse 8 of Luke chapter 15. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. Then look at the lost sheep, verse 7. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And then verse 31. My son, the father said, you're always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because the brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Here we find joy in the rescuing. And the depiction of all of the scenes of these parables and what Jesus is saying is that something is lost. Something that was important to the person. The shepherd, the woman, the father. Of significant value. It was gone. And once that object, and in the final parable, the son, had been rescued, there was joy in every one of those cases. They celebrated the rescue of that lost item. Now, if you have been lost and you have been rescued, there is always a sense of joy. As a child, if you have maybe been separated from your parents and you have perhaps wandered off and suddenly you become aware of your lost condition, panic begins to set in. Where have my parents gone? If you are located by your parents, that moment that you see them, there is a sense of joy that you have been united again. If we truly understand our lostness, and do not take for granted that we have been found, then every day we will celebrate that we have been united with our Father at great expense. We will celebrate the fact that only God's initiative could lead to our finding. You imagine the scene as a child. What you tend to do when you are lost as a child is that you frantically begin to search for your parents. But what should make our celebration even greater is when we contrast it with our search and our inability to find our Heavenly Father. If you were caught in that moment of eternal panic as a child, incapable of locating your parent, you would feel a sense of despondency and despair that would never evaporate or dissolve. Now, if you can try to imagine just for a moment that panic you had as a child when you were lost. Now, you obviously were reunited with your parents. But can you imagine a scene of where you would have been lost and incapable of ever finding your parent or parents again? Can you imagine that the light of the day in which you started that search would give way to the darkness of the night? In the Old Testament, it said that they sat down in darkness. They had given up. They could not see. They could not move forward. In our lostness without God, we were left to a condition of inability. We could not go in pursuit of God. We were darkened in our hearts. There was no illumination from ourselves that would lead us home. And these parables remind us that the initiative began with God, with the one who was doing the searching. God took the initiative. God came after you. God rescued you. He not only rescued it as his covenant people, but he rescued you as an individual. He planned and purposed certain signposts along your pathway to point you to him. You thought at the time that these were simply coincidences, but they were not. They were part of his divine plan, his purposes. He illuminated the pathway back to himself. He wanted you to observe those so that the way led home. And Jesus came as the way, the truth, and the life. And there is joy in your rescue because you were incapable of being rescued by yourself. God alone had the power to do it. God alone pursued you with the diligence and the love and the compassion that he alone possesses. And he did not like the fact that you were in the darkness and on your own. He came out of great love and a burden for your lostness to pursue you into the night so that you could be recovered and rescued. And if there's no other source for joy, that alone is a great source for joy. You have been rescued. And if you have not found God yet, if you have not taken the direction of those signposts, there's not only joy in the rescue that is available, there is joy in the repentance that you can make. In fact, that's what Nehemiah himself wanted his readers to experience. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Why? "Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law." You have heard God's voice. And if you appropriate or apply that voice and that word to your life, then do not grieve anymore. Do not act with sadness, because these words have been your rescue. These words liberate you because they point to a relationship with God. And that relationship with God will be the source of your joy, and it will be your strength. And there are people here today, perhaps, who are trying to find happiness, but they will never find joy. Because they're looking in all the wrong places, and they're listening to all the wrong words. They're listening to the words of others, but not the word of God himself. They're walking past the illuminated signposts and ignoring the signs. God is seeking to rescue you. God has come after you. God has given you his word so that it makes finding him easier. It gives you the source of joy that you truly need, but up to the present you have ignored it because you have not repented from your sin. You have not allowed God by his word to cleanse your life. You're still living for yourself, and you're still making an idol of your own world and your own ambitions and desires. And as you continue to seek to do that, all that you will find is temporary happiness, but never the true source of joy. Because how can you have a sense of joy if you've not been rescued? If you're still out there in the midst of the darkness, groping for life, but never able to find it? How can that truly be a source of joy to you, to live in such ambiguity and uncertainty about your eternal future? All that you'll ever experience are moments of temporary happiness, but not the joy that God wants to give you. Because joy is found not only in the rescue, but it's found in the repenting. And that's the beauty of repentance. It begins with a sense of grief and mourning and sadness about your condition before God, and rightfully so. But the joy of repenting and turning from your sin is that it leads to true life. Not this wasted life that you're seeking to live now, but true life. It begins at a moment of repentance, turning around and turning towards God, and then the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. Because up until then, you've relied on happiness as your strength. You've relied on the things that happened to you to provide strength. But now you rely on something else, or more appropriately, someone else, that gives you joy. And that joy becomes your eternal strength. Because there's not only joy in the rescue and joy in the repenting, there is joy in the remaining in God. And that's where the true source of joy actually comes. Turn with me to John chapter 15. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. If you're wanting complete joy, if you're wanting true joy, then today it's not only found in celebrating your rescue. It's not only found in repenting so that the joy of the Lord is your strength throughout life. It is found in remaining in God. And there is your true source of joy. When all else is stripped away, you are still connected to the vine and the root of the vine. True joy is not dependent on anything else other than being rooted in God. It has no need of external happiness, which is fleeting and temporary. This is an eternal joy because it is based in God himself. I am the vine, he said. You are the branches. I find too many branches relying on other branches and not on the vine and the root. The branches are you and I. You are the branches. But how much of our joy is dependent on another branch? Another relationship that, okay, might be in the vine, But it's not in the root of the vine. How many people are only joyful when they have friends around them? And that's their basis of joy. And so when friends do something that upsets them, the basis for their joy evaporates. Or in the challenges of life, when we lose our friends through death itself, joy evaporates. Because it was based on our relationship with the branch and branches, but not with the root of the vine. And not with the vine dresser. Not with the one who tends the vine, who looks after the vine. He wanted us to bear fruit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. All the things that we seek after in life, go and read about them in Galatians chapter 5. Are on the basis of not relying on the branches, but being rooted in the vine. Remaining in the vine, remaining in Him all of the time. And when you remain in God alone, He is your strength. And the joy of the Lord will be your experience and your strength. And for some of us, our lack of joy or our joylessness is because we are depending on so many other things to be the source of that joy. But when all is stripped away, when we're taken back to the very core and foundation of what our life is based upon, if it is based upon God alone, and we have sought His righteousness first and foremost, then all the other luxuries and all the other things are lovely to possess, but not a necessary basis for joy. Because we're rooted in God. He is our strength. So it means when all else disappears, God never does. Everything else evaporates and dissolves in this broken world but Him. And so when you and I are rooted in Him, there is a peace and a power and a presence that gives us true joy. You see, the source of joy is supernatural. It never can be created and manufactured by us. Because in our brokenness, we only make broken things. The only one who provides something that was never broken and never will is the source of perfection Himself, God. And if you're looking for all of these things elsewhere, they will evade you. You will grasp the wind every day and it will evaporate through your fingers. Except when you find Him and you're rooted in Him. Maybe you're experiencing a challenge that you've never experienced before. It could be health, it could be finances, it could be friendships, it could be the experience of loneliness, an experience of anxiety, an experience of uncertainty. Of feeling frail and vulnerable and weak, then do not look to the branches for your source of strength. Look to the vine dresser. Look to the one who holds the vine together. The one that is the root of all joy and the source of all strength. And fall into His arms, because underneath are the everlasting arms. It is only then that whilst we do not feel happy, we at least have joy. And joy will always be there, because it's based on what is not seen, but what has been accomplished. And though we must walk through the difficulties of life now, we will endure them for the joy set before us, just as Jesus did with the cross. That was not a happy moment for him, but it was not absent of joy, because he endured the cross for the joy set before him, Hebrews says. What made him capable of doing that? Because he celebrated what was eternal and not what was temporal. A rescue that was taking place on the cross of Calvary. The repentance of a people who would turn to him, and the prospect of a people who would remain in him, were not only his true source of joy. And if Jesus needed that to overcome the cross, then we must need that to battle through the challenges of life and find in him the greatest source of joy that human beings can ever experience. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, in these moments we need to know that we have been rescued, or we need to celebrate a rescue that has occurred. In these moments, we need to know that repentance will bring true joy and give us strength. And we need to realize that unless we're rooted in you alone, that we will never experience what you have intended for us, a joy unspeakable.